Now, if you were here last week, you will know, or if you weren't, you're going to be told now. We started a new teaching and preaching series in the Ten Commandments called Boundaries and Blessings. And how these boundaries or restrictions were given by God for them to be a source of His blessing over our lives. And as such, they are a blueprint for us to build our lives upon. In a moment, Wayne's going to be leading us looking at the first commandment that God gave to us, which we read of in Exodus 20, verses 1 to 3, where God says, I spoke all of these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Tim, very much for leading for me. I really, really would like each of you to have a Bible. Maybe not as heavy as mine. But have a Bible because we will be looking at various passages. So if you haven't got a Bible and you would like one, the stewards will give you one. So just put your hand up if you want a Bible and follow along, because I would like us to, first of all, go to Exodus chapter 20, where Tim read for us. I did have a smile when Tim was talking about no clock up there. It reminds me of a minister that was preaching, visiting preacher in some chapel some years ago. And he realized he was beginning to preach too long. And he began to look around and realized it didn't have a clock. And a voice in the back said, no, we don't have a clock, but we have a calendar in the vestry. Sorry, we don't even have a calendar. Anyway, you've got your Bibles open, please, to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. I want to read it again. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out to the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. The first thing to note in this is that these are God's words. Every time you read the Bible, let us remember it is God speaking to us. It's His words, not man's, but it's God's words. And therefore, I think we have to double our efforts to listen to it. And then he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God is introducing himself to these people who hadn't known him in a personal way. And he gives the reasons. He says, look, I'm the one who brought you out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. Egypt was one of the strongest and most powerful nations in the world at that time. And they were in bondage, under slavery. And he said, I am the one who did this, who brought you out, reminding them what he had done. And they had seen some tremendous things going through the Red Sea on dry ground, provided food, provided water in deserts. He was a great God. And therefore, he has the right to say, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. I am the one. You know, the Israelites had lived in Egypt for about 400 years. They were the descendants of Abraham, and they were there for 400 years. And Egypt was where they worshipped many gods. I read that they had 1,400 different gods and deities and goddesses that they worshipped in their homes, in their temples, in their shrines, and what have you. And if you're in a country that long, you're just bound to have some of these things rub off on you, to get into your life unconsciously. You don't even realize that it's happening. But the ways of their country that you live in, you get into your own self. In fact, I can give you an example of that. I've been here 50 years. And though you might think, oh, he's American, there's a lot of things that the English things have gone into my life, the way that I behave. So it does happen, and these people were there 400 years. So after arriving a couple of months out of Egypt, God appears to them and gives the commands to the Israelites. He tells them that he is the one that brought them out of Egypt. And you shall have no other gods before me. And that could be translated, no other gods besides me. Not God first, but God only. God had shown the people while they were still in Egypt what power he had over all these so-called gods that they had worshipped. The Egyptian plagues were harsh, and they varied according to the some of the ancient Egyptian gods and goddesses that were prevalent during Moses' time. And each of these plagues showed that God was more powerful than the gods of Egypt. I can never pronounce these names, but there's Hapi or Hapi. That was a god, Egyptian god of the Nile. The Nile was very important to the Egyptians. That provided the water. It provided all their, in a sense, their wealth. And God turned that whole Nile into blood. Unusable, unlivable. The fish died in it. There was just nothing. And God just said, just like that. And then there was Hekat, the Egyptian goddess of fertility, water and renewal. And that goddess had the head of a frog. And you remember the plague of frogs that went all over the country, even into their baking, their ovens, and the dough. There was the Khepri, the Egyptian god of creation, the movement of the sun, rebirth, had its head of a fly. And there was a plague of flies that covered the land. Oh, I forgot about the Gib, the Egyptian god of the earth, the lice of the gnats that became from the dust. All these Egyptians thought their gods were so great, and God just ruled over them. There was Hathor, the Egyptian goddess of love and protection. The head of that goddess was a cow, and that was when God struck all the livestock of the Egyptians, but not the Israelites. Again, showing his power that he could make some part of the country okay, another country just devastated. There was the god of Isis, or a goddess, of medicine and peace. And there was the boils that came upon all the people and the animals. Nut, the Egyptian goddess of the sky. The plague of hail that come down that destroyed everything. The Seth, the god of storms and disorder. The plague of locusts that just ruined everything. Ra, the sun god. And where God blackened the Egyptian, where there was no light at all, they could not see anything. And yet in Goshen, where the Israelites were, there was light. They thought their god Ra was so powerful. And God took out the light just like that. And then, of course, Pharaoh was the ultimate power of Egypt, where the death of the firstborn. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a powerful God. The number 10 is significant in the Bible. It represents the fullness of quantity. 10 Egyptian plagues means they were completely plagued. Now the question might arise, is this commandment relevant for today? It certainly is. One God, one way? We live in a pluralistic, I'll get it right, society. It means in the same community we have a mixture of people, races, religion, customs, what have you. We are all different because we live in this society today where people come from all over the world. But the word pluralism goes further. It is used to describe the view that all these differences, and particularly the religious differences, contribute to the sum of the spiritual truth. No matter what a person believes, that belief must be accepted as a valid contribution to our full understanding of the ultimate principle behind the universe. whatever you may want to call it. Now that is where the Bible and Christians differ with that. Whoever holds the supreme place in a person's life is God. And God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. We can read that as a claim of priority. God first. People say, well, I put God first in my life. But God doesn't just want people to acknowledge him as the highest among gods. He wants us to reject everything else and God only. As I said, it could be translated not necessarily before me, but beside me. No, have that's a statement of exclusivity. No, you know what I mean. Only exclusive. That's what I'm trying to say. God exclusive, and that's just supported by other commands in the book of Exodus. They were not to treat the God as the king of some pantheon of deities. Exodus 20, verse 23 tells us, you shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make yourself gods of gold. And then in Exodus 22, verse 20, whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. Now this boundary that we're talking about, boundaries and blessings, may sound hard and restrictive. But just as football has rules, it makes the game flow more interestingly and a good time. Or the highway code or the rules for the road. It makes it safe to walk, cycle, and drive. So the commandments of God are for our benefit and our blessings. How difficult it is to live when one or two or more different people advising, when we have more than one, with, in other words, two, three or more people advising us how to live and telling us what to do. It's almost like having too many cooks spoil the broth. Jesus said these words, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's look at the blessings. We saw the restriction. Let's look at the boundaries, the blessings. The Lord is our God. You know, people like me who've been brought up in the tradition of attending church from a very early age, we take some of the things from the Bible for granted. Like if you go in your Bibles now, again, to Isaiah chapter 45. No, Isaiah 40. It's Isaiah 40 that I want. And, well, just glance through that. Scan through the passage and you'll see what God is saying about himself. He's the one that's measured the waters. He's held the dust. He weighs the mountains. Who can fathom the Spirit of God or instruct him? Who can teach God? He says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Further on, he says, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. That was written in a time when people thought the earth was flat. And the Bible says he sits on the circle of the earth. The earth was round. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He brings princes to naught, reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Who will you compare me to? There's no one like our God. He rules the world leaders. None is equal. And I especially like verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. People tell us the stars, you can't count them. There's so many. They're talking about the universes. There's so many. And it's just beyond our comprehension. And yet, God knows each one of them and he calls them by name. That is our God. What an awesome God he is. He is eternal. How can we grasp it? I doubt if even with that small revelation we said there, that I believe that should humble us. It should amaze us that God would even consider looking at us, even thinking about us. What are we? Such a minute little thing on a huge planet, which is small compared to our solar system, which is small compared to our universe, and our part is small to the whole thing. But God is that kind of God. God is our Savior. This God has saved us from the slavery of sin. He delivered us by His great power. Just as He saved the Israelites, so He has saved us. He did this by sending His Son to pay the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross. And that's an amazing thing, to think that God would die in our place, that God would take our sin upon Himself, that we might be free to have a relationship with Him. That should cause us to jounce and jump up and down and praise God. But it's more than that. It's as wonderful that is, it's even more amazing that God should live within us. You know, when Jesus became a baby, He was announced that His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what it was. He was that God who created the whole universe and everything that's in it, knows the stars by name, would live on this earth for about 30 years. As a baby, as a young man, as a child and what have you. Learning temptation, facing temptation. All these things. He knew what life was about. The difficulties, the hardships, the opposition, and even death. He knows what it is to be a person. And we are told in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The great God lives within each of you, if you're a believer, by His Holy Spirit. Paul also teaches this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Don't you know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" That God is within us. God lives within us. That is amazing. An awesome thing. Therefore, God has the exclusive right and to have our wholehearted allegiance to Him. I asked you earlier, is this commandment as relevant today as it was then? And I answered yes. But what are we to do about it? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength. Anything that would lay claim to your life, subdue it. Take it away. I think the God that we tend to worship more than any other God, and sadly, we've all got gods. We don't always put God only. We have other gods. And the God that we worship perhaps more than anybody else, anything else, is ourselves. We make ourselves to be God. Because it's me first. I want this, my rights, and all that. Perhaps you need to reformat your soul. Maybe you need to feel, I need to start again. You know, we're still at the beginning of the new year. Let's start with the first commandment. Confess the ways you've crossed the limit by allowing something or someone else to take God's place in your life. Remind yourself that the Lord is God. He has spoken and has provided salvation in Christ. So place your faith in Him and walk in awe of God. If we get this commandment right and established in our lives, I believe that the others will follow more easily. If you've never done so, I urge you to turn to God today. Put aside your gods, whatever they may be, and put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're new to being a Christian and want to know about God's existence and how we should relate to Him, I'd encourage you to read Acts chapter 17. And that's also a good introduction for next week's sermon. It's still not too late to join the Alpha course that's been going on Mondays. If you want to join, talk to Tim or Izzy or one of the other leaders. And if you're a believer, do you need to renew your devotion to God? You know, I was talking to Tim earlier. There's so much around us that keeps pulling us. And we need to renew our relationship with Him. The flesh keeps drawing us away from God. We must fight through it, through repentance and faith. Keep coming back to the Lord. We must anchor our hearts and minds in God's truth. Let's exalt Him. May God help us to relate to Him as one true God. In your Bibles, Isaiah 45 kind of sums it up from verse 21 to 25. And he says here, "Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say to me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who are raged against Him will come to Him and be put to shame. But all the descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in Him." It reminds you of Philippians chapter 2, doesn't it? About Christ, what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is God. There is no other God. Don't make Him a priority in your life. Make Him the only one in your life. No other gods. Is it relevant back in the Old Testament? As it is in the New Testament, as it is today.